You know, it's a real privilege to be up here, to stand on this stage, to speak to God's people. But I can tell you right now, it's not easy. As Mikey alluded to, once you step on this stage, you're going to preach the word of God to people. You're going to try to bring people closer to Jesus Christ. You're going to try to glorify God. You are stepping into the battlefield. You can expect to step into warfare, and you can expect the enemy to attack you. Anyone who has stood on this stage has faced this. And each time I come up here, I have great respect and admiration for the men and women of God that come up here week in and week out to preach the word of God. So hallelujah. So that being said, if you wake up in the morning and you have opposition against the enemy, that means you're headed in the right direction. That is a good thing, to be facing opposition and to be going against the grain, to be bringing Jesus to people. So the other thing I found out is that when you decide to give a sermon on a certain topic, God is going to begin to teach you about that topic. And sometimes these lessons are not very easy, but they're also very powerful. Because something I learned over this last month is that He won't let you speak about something that you don't understand. Because if you do that, you won't be able to glorify Him. And that's why we're all up here. So let me go through the lessons that I've been teaching or learning over the last month, the things that I've been experiencing from God that I get to now share with you. So this is a sermon about living a life of abundant love. And something that's starting to become very apparent to me through reading the scriptures, through time of prayer, through presence with the Father, is that love is a very important and paramount thing in life and in the scriptures and with God. So let's start off with the most basic question. What is love? And so that brings me to my first verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is a very important thing. This is a theme that's going to run through this whole sermon. This is one of the most important points that I'm going to be speaking about. God is love. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, it's one of the best descriptions I've ever come across for what love is, for what God is. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And as I said, you can go through this whole thing again and say, God is patient, God is kind, God does not envy or boast, God is not proud, God does not dishonor others, and so on through the whole verse. That is the nature of God. That is the nature of love. And something that I've been coming to understand is that love is not just something we feel. It's not just the romantic emotion when someone brings you chocolates and flowers. Love is deeper than that. It's so much more than that. Love is something we do and something we can become. To become more like God is to become more loving. Now, I can't stress the importance of love and what it means to the Father and what it means to our Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, someone was asking him, teacher, speaking to Jesus, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. And he simply says this. He didn't give us 2 commandments. He gave us 10 commandments. But without the first 2 commandments of loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, nothing else matters. Those are the most important things. In the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is probably one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. This is the cornerstone of Christianity, that you love one another as I have loved you, so that you can love one another. If you can go out into the world, if you can take that, he was talking about with the joy, you bring that joy to these environments. It's the same thing with love, just like the fruits of the Spirit. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. When you can go into all these different places, your home, your work, the grocery stores, to visiting your family, when you can bring this love with you and you can love the people in your lives, whether you're feeling stressed or depressed or have anxiety or feeling upset or feeling discouraged or feeling under attack, when you can love people regardless of what's going on inside you, that says so much more about your faith than anything that you could ever say. If you could love people in such a way that you never have to tell them that you're a Christian, that's the most powerful statement that you could ever possibly make as a Christian, is to go out into the world and love people so deeply and so much that they know that there's something different about you and they wonder what it is that's within you that allows you to treat people in this way that's so different from the way the world treats people. That's the power of this verse. It is absolutely the cornerstone of Christianity. If you get anything from this talk, from this sermon, that is the main thing. I want to tell you one more time. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so, here's the difficult part about that. Some people are very hard to love. And so, do we just love the people that are easy? Or do we just love the people that are nice to us? Do we just love the people that give us things? Do we just love these people and shun everyone else? What does that say about us as Christians? Do we have the love of God in us, and can we share that with other people or not? This goes to the next verse. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 45. He says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father who art in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." So that's these toxic environments, these people that are hard to work with, the people that don't treat you well when you go to get a coffee or you go to the grocery store, maybe the in-laws. I don't know who it is that's difficult in your life and hard to deal with, but we are required to love them as well. Not to separate people. It's to share that love of God with every single person that we come in contact with. Every single person that we... And now he gives us another very powerful thing to understand. In John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so we'll review them here. Love God, love ourselves, and love each other. And so some of the lessons that I've been learning and some of the things that he's been doing in my life ever since I knew I was going to be speaking on this subject is he's been straining a lot of different relationships. He's been causing a lot of tension in some areas and with people in my life that I usually get along with no problem, that usually I can enjoy and find it easy to love. But he puts things in your path, difficulties, so that you can understand how to love people through them in spite of the situations or the circumstances. And this comes from someone who was beaten, tortured, whipped, ridiculed, mocked, and when he was up on the cross, he asked for forgiveness. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That's the type of love of your enemies that I can only aspire to, that I can only try to reach, but some I find it incomprehensible to have a love like that for even the people that persecute you, that harm you, that mock you, that spite you. Can we still love in those situations? Can we find it in our heart? That's the real question. And so that brings me to another question. How do we love? And that brings me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he loved us first. That is how we share the love of God with the people in our lives, with everyone that we connect with. It's because we can go into prayer. We can get into his presence. We can sit there and we can feel the love of God enter into our lives and flood our hearts and our minds. And when we get flooded with that love of God from being in that secret place in his presence, we can learn how to love ourselves. We can feel his forgiveness. We can look past our own defects and our own shortcomings, and we can understand that God loves us in spite of all of these things, in spite of our imperfections. And so we can take that love and share it with the world. And it's the most beautiful gift that you can have as a Christian. This isn't about religion. This isn't about coming into church every Sunday and checking boxes. This is about showing up and having that relationship with the creator of the universe who intentionally created you. There's no accidents. There's no mishaps. There's no mistakes. He wanted you to be here. He died for you. And he loves you more than you could possibly understand. And so there's a lot of people that feel stuck with that. Love is a hard thing sometimes, especially if you haven't felt it from the world. You haven't experienced it from the world. It's almost an impossible thing to wrap your mind around. There's some people in this room that feel like they're unworthy. There's some people in this room that feel like they're unlovable. There's some people in this room that feel like they don't matter, that they are a mistake. And I'm here to tell you that those are lies from the enemy, and I rebuke them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you a story. It's interesting. It's about Mother Teresa. She was doing an interview once, and at the end of the interview, I can't remember the city it was in, the person who's interviewing asked her the question, is there anything we can do for you? We would love to help you. We love to support you. We love what you're doing. Is there anything that we can do for you to help make your mission easier, to help support you? And she said, yeah, there actually is something. Tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock, get up and go out into the streets. Find someone that feels like they're alone, they're worthless, they're unlovable, and convince them that they are not. So can we do that this week? Can we focus on this love of God? Can we put ourselves in his presence to feel this love of God, to connect to that? And can we go out into the world, find someone that feels like they are unlovable, feels empty, feels like they don't matter? And can we convince them that they do? Because here's the most powerful verse, one of the most cited verses in all of Scripture. It's John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing more powerful than that. That verse encapsulates God's love for the world. There's such a power in what God did for us, in sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to bear our sins on the cross so that we can be forgiven, so that he could bridge the gap, the separation that was caused in the garden, the disconnect between man and God. Jesus came to bridge that gap and allow us to have that connection with the Father once again. So we are blessed. We are blessed to live a life of abundant love, to have that love that he gives us, to have that within us, to carry us through the days, to carry us through the dark times, to carry us through the hardships, to carry us through the trials and the tribulations. That love is unwavering. It will never go anywhere. And as long as we can connect to that and we can feel that, we can withstand everything that this world has to throw at us, every attack that the enemy has to throw at us. We are able to go through it knowing that his love is sufficient for all of our needs. And it's a beautiful blessing. So today, if you want to accept this gift of love that God has, that Jesus died for, if you want to feel this love in your heart, if you want to be transformed from the inside out, then I would like to do a little prayer together today. And I would like all of us to do it together. So if we can all repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me for all my sins. Today I choose to repent of my sins and accept you as my Lord and Savior, and this free gift of salvation that you died for me to have. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.